Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning, Lord. We thank you so much for your word and just the truth that it brings to our life, Lord, the clarity that it brings to our life, the peace that it brings us, God. Lord, I pray that as we sit around together and we sit at your feet and we hear the things that you want to say to us, Lord, that our hearts would be open to hear you, that we would be patient and kind and slow to speak. Lord, we ask you bless our time. In your name we pray. Amen. The world has a lot to say about wisdom. Albert Einstein said that wisdom is not a product of schooling, but of the lifelong attempt to acquire it. And Alfred Lord Tennyson said that knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. And Socrates said, the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. Psychology Today outlined five characteristics of someone who is wise. They said that a wise person is someone who, number one, self-regulates, meaning that they are in control of their emotions and they don't let their emotions affect their decision-making. Number two, they said that they are virtuous. They are considerate and mindful of others. Three, that they can see and recognize patterns which help them solve problems. Four, that they can navigate various environments well. And the fifth one that Psychology Today identified was that they can make the best of a bad situation. Now, all of these definitions and characteristics of wisdom might sound good, but none of them give us an accurate picture and an accurate definition of what wisdom truly is. God's word tells us in Proverbs 9:10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The truth is there is no wisdom apart from the Lord. The world can think that they have wisdom, but apart from him, they only have a counterfeit. Wisdom is spoken about all throughout the scriptures, but simply stated, wisdom is practical knowledge and discernment that comes from living in a right relationship with God. The deeper your relationship with the Lord, the more wisdom you will have. The main word for wisdom in the book of Proverbs comes from the Hebrew word chokmah. I probably said that wrong because I don't speak Hebrew. But it means moral, to make a right choice even when there are no clear moral laws telling you what is right or wrong. Wisdom is more than just a moral black and white. It is the discernment to know how to respond to situations that are unclear or do not have a clear moral answer. For example, when presented with two job offers, which one do you take? There's not a moral right or wrong answer. Oftentimes in situations like that, we can become fearful that if we make the wrong choice, then our life will get off track and we will fall out of God's will for our life. But God is not that way. He does not hide his will for our life. Instead, he guides us. It tells us in Proverbs 16:9 that the Lord directs our steps. And in moments like that, we can pray. And we can ask, like it says in James 1:5, ask God to give us his wisdom and make the right choice for us in the moment. And in that time, he will give it to us. This type of wisdom that is spoken about in the Bible is only available to those who have a relationship with God. And we only have a relationship with him if we accept him, accept his son Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our life. That's the beginning of wisdom. That is the foundation of our faith. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as the propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We all need a Savior. I try to be perfect, but I epically fail every moment of every day. None of us can be good enough to earn our salvation, and we don't have to. God sent his son to pay the price for our sin. Jesus took the wrath so we didn't have to. It is a free gift. All we have to do is accept it. Wisdom is accepting the free gift and choosing a life submitted to Jesus Christ. The world cannot offer you that. The world cannot save you. Jesus offers the free gift, and the world offers a counterfeit. And so wisdom is choosing Jesus, and folly is choosing the counterfeit. Folly is making the choice to live a life without Jesus, thinking that you can be the Lord of your own life. But there is no wisdom apart from Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Bible has so much to say about wisdom and folly. We could literally be here all day looking up all the different references to wisdom. But now that we understand where it comes from and that it only comes from the Lord, I want to focus on chapter 9 of Proverbs, as it gives us a good contrast of what it looks like to be wise or to be the fool. So Proverbs 9 starts out, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent her young woman out to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let them turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, 'Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight.' Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it." Proverbs 9 continues on, shifting its focus to folly. It says in verse 13, "A woman's folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant.' But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." I want to touch on three things that really stand out to me in this chapter. The first is that wisdom is diligent, while folly is passive. Wisdom is diligent, while folly is passive. The second thing is that wisdom is humble and teachable, while folly is prideful. And the third is that wisdom brings understanding and discernment. So let's take a look at diligence. Proverbs 9 shows us that wisdom is diligence. She has built her home. She went out, she prepared food for the banquet by slaughtering the animals and making the wine. She took time to set her table. The wise woman was intentional. She worked hard and she diligently prepared her banquet. Since wisdom is born out of our relationship with Jesus, the parallel here is that we are to be diligent in our relationship with him. Proverbs 4, 5 through 9 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver you." Wisdom is not something that you just acquire for being a Christian. There's a lot of Christians that are not wise. Scripture tells us that we are to get it. There is an action on our part. You don't become Christian and automatically just like the wise is just downloaded into your brain. It's grown. It's cultivated as you live out your Christian walk, being diligent to build your foundation on God. How is your relationship with him? Is it strong? Are you spending time in his word? Are you following his commands? Are you talking to him? Are you inviting him into your day? Is he leading your life as Lord? Or do you keep him in your back pocket and you only pull him out in a crisis or when you need something? How are you building your relationship with God? Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Wisdom is building your life upon the rock of Jesus. It is not just saying you are a Christian. It is being diligent to build a solid foundation with your Savior. Romans 12:11 tells us that we are to serve him with all diligence. Wisdom is reading your Bible regularly. It's following and honoring his commands. It is loving your neighbor as yourself, always seeking his will for your life. In everything you do, you look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. Wisdom is built by intentionally drawing closer and closer to him. The deeper your relationship, the more wisdom you will have. Wisdom prepared for her guest, and in contrast, folly was lazy and did not prepare. We see in Proverbs 9 that folly sat down and called people to her banquet of stolen items. She didn't work for her guest. She didn't tidy her home. She didn't put any care or concern into it. She took the easy road. She took what wasn't hers. She took stolen food and offered it to her guest. Folly entices its victims with lies and deception, just like Satan did in the garden in Genesis 3. It was there that Satan tempted Eve, saying, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Satan offered a counterfeit, a false wisdom. Satan told her that she could be her own God. He offered her folly in exchange for the true wisdom of God. And Satan is doing the same thing today. There is nothing new under the sun. Hebrews 11:25 tells us that sin is pleasurable for a season. We think it's what we want. We think it'll be fun and it'll lead to great things. But the truth is that the wages of sin is always death. Folly lives for whatever brings pleasure in the moment. Self-gratification is her mantra. It makes me feel good, so it must be good. In the end, what folly offered to her guests was death. Genesis 4:7 says that sin is crouching at the door. It's waiting to devour us. And I don't know about you, but if there is something that's about to devour me, I would like to be diligent to not allow it to devour me. We cannot be passive. We must be diligent. We must be intentional in our walk with Christ. Isaiah 30:21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Be diligent. Listen for him and walk in the ways of the Lord. The wise woman in our text was a diligent worker who also selflessly served her guests at her banquet with humility, while the foolish woman was prideful and self-serving. She did whatever it was that pleased her without thinking about the effects of others. In Philippians 2:3-5, Paul told us to let nothing be done through selfish ambition, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but for the interest of others. The wise woman looked out for her guest, making sure that everything was in order for them. She served them. The foolish woman sat around. She didn't care about the people she called in. She only served herself. As Christians, we are called to live a life of sacrifice. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." It takes humility to follow Christ. We are to put down our pride and our selfish desires and submit to his will for our life. Proverbs 11, 2 says, "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom." For any of us to have a relationship with Jesus, we have to humble ourselves. It is saying that I cannot save myself from sin and recognizing my need for a Savior to save me. Proverbs 15, 5 tells us that fools despise their father's correction. See, the fool thinks that they need no help. She thinks that she doesn't need a Savior. She believes she can do life on her own and that she's always right and needs no correction. But there is none good, no, not one. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need help. We all need instruction and guidance. God's love looks at us and he says, "I love you too much to let you stay this way. I love you too much to let you stay tangled up in your sin and your dirt and your grime." And so God in his grace brings correction and guidance. He cleans us up, giving us a better way, his way. The wise will heed the correction, but the fools are too prideful to receive correction or guidance, no matter how lovingly it's delivered, because they think they need no God. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I don't know how people can live without the Lord. How can they navigate throughout their day without his wisdom? It's kind of a scary world out there, especially if you don't have Jesus. You know, I think of, like, in recent weeks, like the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I didn't have a chance to watch the memorial yet. I've seen pieces of it, and I heard Erica Kirk's speech. You know, and all the media, all the commentators, and all the grief specialists are critiquing how she handled herself and saying it's not appropriate. She shouldn't be this far along. But it's God. They say that something like this is not normal. It's not normal for a wife to be able to get up on a stage 11 days after her husband's assassination and to be composed and to say out loud that she forgives the one who killed her husband. And by worldly standards, without God, that is not normal. It is only through the grace and wisdom of Jesus Christ leading and guiding her and giving her the peace that surpasses all understanding and giving her the wisdom to know how to react in this situation, in this moment in time. Proverbs 2, 1 through 11 says, "My son, if you receive my words and you treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and you apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and you search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And you will find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice, and he preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you." Everybody always wants to know what God's will for their life is. It is not some super secret thing that you have to figure out on your own. His perfect will is for you to follow him, to submit your life to him, to walk in obedience to him. And if you do that, his path for your life will be clear. He will open doors that you didn't expect. He will close the doors that weren't for you. He will give you insight and desire to pursue the things of him. Seek him with your whole heart, and he will give you the discernment to make the choices that are in his will for your life. There are so many decisions in life that don't have a clear answer. What school do I send my kids to? What job should I take? When should I retire? Should I let my child get his or her driver's license at 16? How should I respond to a friend who's angry? How do I respond to my husband? How do I respond to my child's behavior? There are a number of decisions that we face daily that don't have a moral right or wrong answer. We might try to make them right or wrong, but that's just us trying to control and justify our decisions, because it can be scary to make some of these choices. And deep down, we don't want to make a choice that could mess up our life. And that's where wisdom comes in. James 1:5 tells us that if any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We will be given the discernment to make the right response. We see a beautiful example of this in John 11. In John 11, Jesus' friend Lazarus had died. And by the time he arrives, Lazarus has already been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. And we see in verse 21 that Martha said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus simply tells her, "Your brother will rise again." But later in that chapter, in verse 23, we see Mary say the exact same thing. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It's the exact same comment. But scripture tells us that Jesus responded different to Mary. We read that his response to Mary was that his spirit was troubled and he wept. It's the same comment about the same situation, and yet Jesus reacted in 2 different ways. There's no clear right or wrong to react. No one proper response. One response was a matter-of-fact answer that Lazarus will rise again. And the other is Jesus weeping and mourning his friend. Why? What is that all about? It's wisdom. See, Jesus had the discernment, the wisdom to recognize what it was that each woman needed in that moment. He was able to know that each woman was at a different stage in their grief, and that one needed a reassurance of her faith. She needed to be told that Lazarus would rise again. He was telling her to trust in him. And the other woman, Mary, she needed compassion. She needed empathy. Unlike Mary, she wasn't having a crisis of faith. She was emotional and she was in her feelings. And she needed Jesus to feel the same sorrow and pain that she did. She needed to know that it was okay to grieve. And Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, knew exactly how to respond to life in that moment. It is through our relationships with God that we can have that same type of wisdom, the wisdom to know how to respond in moments in our life, the wisdom to know what decision to make for our future, for our kids, for our careers, for our marriages. Because the reality is, there are very few things in life that are black and white. Life is all different shades of gray, kind of like this room. It's a lot of shades of gray, right? And so when we trust the Lord and we humbly seek him for how we should respond, he gives us the wisdom to make the right choice and to have the right response. Wisdom is our secure salvation in Jesus. It is filtering all that we do through him and asking if it is his will for our life. We make hundreds of decisions every day without thinking about them. How would your day look different if you slowed down and you prayed about each of these decisions? You do not need to fear that you might mess up his plan for your life. You just need to trust him. You need to lean into him, and he will give you his wisdom to discern and know what choices to make. I cannot tell you how many times that I have prayed and asked God to slam doors closed in my face if it's not of his will. And it's not the most glamorous prayer, I get that. But he's been faithful to close every door that we shouldn't have walked through. I just tend to do better with fewer options, and so I ask God. That's what I ask him. Lord, give me your wisdom by giving me fewer choices. Make it obvious to me, Lord. Too often we get caught up in the busyness of life, and we don't actually stop and think about what it is that the Lord would have us do in a situation. We simply react. But Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believe every word, but the prudent consider well his steps." Ladies, we need to be prudent. We need to slow down and pray about the choices and decisions that you have to make. Stop and ask the Lord for discernment. You don't have to make decisions right away. Telling someone that you will think and pray about a situation before you give them a firm answer is a wonderful and complete answer. So before you take the job offer or you commit to one more thing, ask the Lord if it's his will for your life. Sometimes we get caught up in what everyone else is doing and saying, and we go with the crowd before we ever pray and ask him for the wisdom about the decisions before us. We try to use human logic alone to make the right decision, but there is no wisdom apart from God. True wisdom is living a life in submission to the Lord, and by living that life to him, all of those morally ambiguous questions become easier as he's leading your life. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." The Lord will give you his guidance and clearance to make the next right choice in faith for his glory. I think as women, we can have this tendency to get caught up in looking the part. We care too much what other people think about us. So instead of focusing on what God has called us to do and submitting to his will for our life, we focus on how we look. We focus on what others might think of us when we make decisions. And when we do that, we are living for someone else's will. And we're building our foundation on something other than God. To go back to the parable of the two houses, it is not about the house. The house doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It's the foundation that you build your house upon that makes all the difference. If you build your foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ, you are wise. It doesn't matter what others think or say. We are all broken and leaky houses, but the foundation will determine if our house withstands the storm or if it crumbles under the pressure of life. Wisdom and folly are calling to all of us. And as Meef said last week, there are only two people, the wise or the fool. The wise follow Jesus. John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The fool follows Satan. And John 8:44 Jesus tells the Pharisees, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to do what your father desires." There is no middle when it comes to the gospel. Jesus offers you life and life more abundantly. Satan offers lies, empty promises, flattery, and it has a cost, death. Choose this day who you will follow. It would be foolish to choose Satan when Jesus is offering you a free gift. We are all made in the image of God. Wisdom is living a life that acknowledges that, while folly is living a life ignoring that fact and living for ourselves. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Choose him. Build your life on Christ. It is foolish to go through life without him. Or maybe you are saved here today, but you haven't been diligent about your relationship with Jesus. You become complacent. You've allowed yourself to become distracted by life's trials and difficulties, and maybe even from the pleasures and busyness of life. You let it take over, and your foundation is cracking. You aren't living a life with the wisdom that he's offered you. Seek him today, diligently. Lord, give us your wisdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the promises that you give us in your word, Lord, that you promise to give us your wisdom, that you promise to never leave or forsake us, that you promise to guide us in your perfect will. Lord, help us all to slow down enough and to be diligent and intentional in building a solid foundation and relationship with you, Lord. Lord, I pray as we sit around the table, Lord, and we talk about the things that the Holy Spirit is bringing on our hearts, Lord, that you would be in each of these conversations, that all of it would point us right back to you, because it is only your wisdom that we want, God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.